Thank you, Mr. Chair, and good morning. We appreciate the continued discussion about the proposals that have been submitted. The United States continues to believe it is critical that we reach consensus on a substantive outcome this year. Our delegation continues to believe that the joint proposal submitted by Australia, Canada, Japan, the Republic of Korea, the United Kingdom, and the United States is the best vehicle for that continued progress because it reflects the GGE's past significant consensus achievements and builds on the GGE's work over the past several years in important ways. As several other delegations have noted, there are important areas of consensus emerging from our discussion. One is the two-track approach. One track on categories of weapons that are prohibited per se, and another track that specifies other prohibitions or restrictions on the use of weapon systems. This two-track approach reflects a fundamental distinction in weapons law. Under IHL, some categories of weapons are illegal per se, while other categories of weapons may be lawfully used in some circumstances. The section in our joint proposal on weapons prohibited from use in all circumstances focuses on the first of these tracks and consists of two paragraphs, paragraphs 10 and 11. To be clear, these paragraphs clarify how binding international law applies to emerging technologies based on lethal autonomous weapon systems. The fact that the joint proposal is a non-legally binding instrument does not mean that everything within it is voluntary. There is consensus in this group that IHL fully applies to lethal autonomous weapon systems, as it does to all other weapons. Paragraph 10 is drawn from paragraph 19 of the declaration of the 6th CCW Review Conference. Paragraph 10 represents the primary norm of international law with respect to weapons that are prohibited per se. Essentially, these are weapons whose nature is such that they are incapable of being used in compliance with IHL. Paragraph 11 builds on paragraph 10 and elaborates practices to help effectively implement the prohibitions on weapons incapable of being used in compliance with IHL. The chapeau of paragraph 11 seeks to clarify that paragraph 10 represents the primary norm of international law, while paragraph 11 is of a secondary nature. The chapeau to paragraph 11 also helps orient us to the objective of preventing future weapon systems that will be unlawful. Regarding subparagraph A of paragraph 11, unfortunately, some weapons in past conflicts have been designed to conduct terror attacks against the civilian population. Thus, we thought it important to include the subparagraph in light of those historical examples. Turning to subparagraph B of paragraph 11, in practice, subparagraph B is likely to overlap significantly with subparagraph A. Even though no responsible actor would design weapons to invariably cause excessive collateral damage, it seems useful for completeness to reflect that weapons must not be designed to be deliberately inconsistent with the principle of proportionality. Subparagraph C builds upon guiding principle D, which emphasizes how the operation of systems within a responsible chain of human command and control contributes to accountability. Subparagraph C makes the point that autonomous functions in weapon systems must not be designed to undermine or evade command responsibility, which is a critical mechanism for the implementation of IHL found in all regular armed forces and recognized in the Third Geneva Convention and the 1977 Additional Protocol II. This subparagraph is also therefore connected to the principles of responsibility, which are addressed later in the joint proposal. While subparagraphs A, B, and C of paragraph 11 outline prohibited design practices, subparagraph D states affirmatively what IHL requires of the development of weapons in relation to distinction, proportionality, and command responsibility. Subparagraph D is essentially, therefore, an inverse corollary of the prohibitions reflected in the previous subparagraphs. In line with the two-track approach, following paragraphs 10 and 11 on weapons prohibited from use in all circumstances, which is track one, the joint proposal then has a section on other prohibitions or restrictions, which is track two. This section includes important language about the IHL principles and requirements of distinction, proportionality, and precautions in attack. These paragraphs include important existing prohibitions or restrictions on the use of weapon systems. In addition, in paragraph 29 of the joint proposal on risk mitigation measures, Our proposal includes previously agreed conclusions in this area, but also seeks to build on that work by articulating new conclusions. The subparagraphs of paragraph 29 catalog potential limits to mitigate the risk of unintended engagements, including measures to control, limit, or otherwise affect the types of targets that the system can engage, and measures that control, limit, or otherwise affect operational aspects, such as the duration, geographical scope, and the scale of the operation of the weapon system. Our delegation believes that work on IHL, clarifying and specifying how existing principles and legal requirements apply in this context, is the key to making substantive progress in building consensus in the GGE. We look forward to discussing this further throughout the course of this week as we focus on the chair's draft report. Thank you.